David writes in Psalm 86, "You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call to you. Hear my prayer, Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy." As Christians, we know that God is merciful. We also know about God's justice, love, and wrath. These complex truths can give people wrong ideas about God and the mercy He shows His children. Coming up on Principles for Living, author and Bible teacher Bill Zechman helps us understand the true nature of God's mercy. Principles for Living is a Southern Baptist teaching and evangelism ministry. Our mission is to help Christians by sharing God's principles in Scripture, and also to encourage others to know the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Join us for the next half hour as we teach Principles for Living. And welcome to our broadcast. Thanks for making us a part of your day today. Before we begin, we'd like to offer you our free booklet called Strength Through Weakness. Inside, Bill teaches us what it means to put our trust in the Lord and His strength instead of our own, so that God can do His best work in us. You can request the booklet on our website, absolutely free, at principlesforliving.org, or call us at 888-881-3411. That's 888-881-3411. Our sins are forgiven the moment we accept Christ as our Lord, thanks to God's mercy. He utterly forgets all our mistakes, and we become totally new creatures. That's how powerful His mercy is, which is why it's important that we understand God's mercy correctly. Let's listen.
Exactly what is mercy? What is an act of mercy? What does the Bible tell us about mercy? How can a God who says, "Vengeance is mine," be a God of mercy as well? When it comes to mercy, we have so much to learn. It's important that we understand mercy if we really want to know God. Mercy is not the same as love. Mercy is an act of love. Love comes from God because God is love. People often talk about how valuable we must be to God, since He was willing to send His only begotten Son to die for us. But God didn't send His Son to die for us because we had any merit of our own. He sent His Son to die for us because God is love. In the Bible, Titus chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, it says, "But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy." God's love caused Him to be merciful towards us. God's love is His nature. He explains what that looks like with the commandment Jesus gave us in Matthew 5, verses 43 and 44. "You have heard it said, 'Love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Mercy is unique in that it is granted to the unlovable and unworthy, and can exist alongside of justice. You may ask, how can this be? It is possible because the judgment of God, which we deserved, is fulfilled by Christ's substitution. We were not God's friends when He poured out His mercy on us. Listen to what it says in Romans 5:10. "For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life?" We serve a God of mercy. When people look at the Old Testament, they often say God was not merciful. But this is simply not true. We don't understand God unless we know Him through His Word. Here are a few of the many verses in the Old Testament which talk about God's mercy. In Psalms 145, 8 and 9, it says, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works." In Psalms 117, 1 and 2, it adds, "Oh, praise the Lord, all you nations. Praise Him, all you people, for His merciful kindness is great towards us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever." Is this the supposed unmerciful God of the Old Testament? What matters is what is true. Here is the psalmist's words in Psalms 25:10. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. Truth and mercy go hand in hand. We live in a world full of deception and lies. One of Satan's greatest lies is that God is not merciful, because if he were, he wouldn't send people to hell. But you see, God is also just. And when we rebel against him, there must be consequences. Otherwise, God wouldn't be God. We see a great statement by Jesus in Matthew 9, verses 12 and 13. It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. What does it mean to desire mercy instead of sacrifice? To answer that, we need to think about who said this. It was Jesus. He was the ultimate sacrifice. In the Old Testament, we see that sacrifices were continually being made for the sins of the Jewish people. It was commanded that they perform animal sacrifices over and over again. But Jesus was the complete and perfect sacrifice for our sins. And here, Jesus says he desires mercy, not sacrifice. You see, the sacrifice was a representation of the mercy and forgiveness that were to come. It wasn't the sacrifice that was important. It was the mercy. We need to ask ourselves how we stack up in the area of mercy. We like to convince ourselves we are loving and merciful, but how well do our actions confirm our words? Listen to these words of Jesus in Luke 6:35 and 36. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Mercy is forgiveness. What words describe forgiveness? Here are a few: pardon, absolution, exoneration, remission, dispensation, clemency, and the last but not least, mercy. Forgiveness is something that is extremely hard for some people to give because they haven't learned what the true love of God is. For this reason, they're unable to comprehend mercy. The Bible speaks about the glory of God over and over. Why should we glorify God if we are of the mindset that God is only a wrathful God? Then we won't want to glorify him. However, if we believe the whole of the Bible, we will see God is a great God of mercy, and we will gladly praise him for his forgiveness and love. Because of that great mercy, God is our Father if we receive Jesus in faith and surrendered our lives to him. And as our Father, he gives us many wonderful blessings. Listen to what Paul tells us in Ephesians 1:3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Those blessings are spelled out to us in Ephesians 1:4 through 10. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given to us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace, which he lavishes on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. When God shows us his mercy, he is showing us one of his attributes that is a natural part of who he is. He never has to decide to be merciful. It's his nature. As our Father, God also calls us to be responsible in everything he has given us, in all that he has commanded. He expects us to be accountable, in love, like any good father would. God is a God of order as well as a God of mercy. We see his order in the natural world, through the solar system. We can see his order in all the systems of the human body. People have a hard time balancing God's justice with his mercy. That's because we have a hard time distinguishing the difference between being loving and being pleasing. What is pleasing isn't always loving, and what is loving isn't always pleasing. Having to be accountable to God may not be pleasing to us, but God requires it in his love and for our good. This is very easy to see when it comes to parenting. Being merciful and forgiving to our child does not mean we will always give her or him what he wants. When God is merciful to us, we tend to be happy. Why then, when one person is merciful to another person, do we criticize them and say you're just letting people off the hook? When someone has hurt us, we prefer for that person to receive justice rather than mercy. But mercy is a decision to forgive the unloving and to be kind to the unjust. Isn't this why we're glad God is a merciful God and that he's merciful to us? Because we don't deserve it and because we really need it. Jesus can understand us. Hebrews 4:14-16 explains why. Therefore, since we have a high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are. Yet, he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Jesus can relate to us, but we can't relate to him. Can we understand real mercy?
You're listening to Principles for Living with Bill Zechman. Principles for Living is a ministry striving to help Christians grow in both knowledge and faith. We'd like to offer you our free booklet called Strength Through Weakness, all about how God shows his strength when we allow ourselves to be weak and hand over the power and control over our lives to him. You can request the booklet on our website, absolutely free, at principlesforliving.org, or call us at 888-881-3411. That's 888-881-3411. And now, back to today's program called The Giving of Mercy.
A while back, I was out to eat with someone, and we both ordered a taco salad. The other person ordered beef, and I ordered chicken. We were both served chicken taco salads. My companion complained to the waiter. Later, the waiter came to the table to give us our bill and apologized profusely. My companion asked for a break in the price, but didn't get one. Upon leaving, my companion was going to complain again and ask for a discount before paying for the meal. I suggested showing mercy. I asked them, why should we risk making someone feel bad? My words must have made a difference because that person paid the bill without complaining. I told them how great it was to see them be merciful. The next time I talked to this person, he had told his friends about the incident. The friends thought it was wrong to not have asked for a break, because the mistake should have been paid for. Why do we feel we need to be taught a lesson somehow? Why aren't we more willing to forgive others? Why do we seem more interested in getting what we have the right to rather than doing what is right? Mercy belongs to the one being merciful. Mercy isn't about rights, but about love and grace. As Christians, we should be full of grace. I want to give a biblical example of the right of the giver. In Matthew 21:1-2, it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into the vineyard. The landowner incrementally hired more people all the way out to for the latter part of that day. We pick up with that story again in Matthew 28, verses 8 through 12. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call all the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going to the first." The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius. So when they came to those that were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said, "and you still have made them equal to us, who have borne the work of the heat of the day." I believe Jesus gave us this example for a very specific reason. He wanted us to see how unfair mercy can look and what real love looks like. The landowner responds to the workers in Matthew 20, verses 13 through 15, where it says, "I'm not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give to the one who was hired last, the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I'm generous?" Since God is a merciful God by nature, this is what we are going to see coming from Him. The very reason God sent Jesus into the world was because He had mercy on us and wanted to give us a chance at regaining the eternal life that Adam had thrown away. God's mercy was so strong that He was willing to suffer so we might have eternal life. When we talk about God's mercy, it's important that we remember we can trust Him to be merciful every day. He does not change. Hebrews 13:8 says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever." We can depend on His consistency. He is not a God of impulse. God predetermines His every move. God is all-powerful, but still remains merciful. In Psalms 136, we see many things that God has done and why we should thank Him for everything. At the end of each verse, we are reminded that His mercy endures forever. Let's start with verse 1 where it says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever." Verse 2 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods." Verse 4, "To Him who alone doeth great wonders." Verse 5, "To Him that by wisdom made the heavens." And remember, after each one of these, He says, "For His mercy endures forever." "He made the sun to rule the day, and the moon and the stars to rule by night." And after that, it says, "His mercy endures forever." "To Him that smote Egypt in their firstborn." Even after that, it says, "His mercy endures forever." Then it talks about His great power, "To Him who divided the Red Sea into parts." It goes on and says, "To Him who smote great kings, and to Him who giveth food to all the flesh." And finally, in verse 26, it says, "Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for His mercy endures forever." The point here is that this great and awesome God, who has done all of the mighty and majestic things, could squash us like a bug, but He's merciful to all who call upon His name. No wonder He deserves such glory and also demands it. The mercy of God is not a wimpy, sorrowful feeling that God has for the less fortunate. Mercy is a grace that is born out of true compassion. It is a deep understanding of someone else's pain that leads one to reach out and compassionately offer help and care in a time of need. Mercy can easily be confused because of its unselfish nature. Mercy does not expect anything in return. It is patient and gives others the benefit of the doubt. It understands that the one receiving it doesn't deserve it, but it gives it anyway. Mercy doesn't hold a grudge against someone who seeks forgiveness and doesn't remember the wrong that was committed. When we're merciful, we're willing to be condemned and humiliated so another person can be freed from pain of judgment. Mercy is never resentful. Mercy is desperately needed in our society today because our everyday relationships show us our own need of redemption and grace. We should see our own shortcomings and realize that without mercy, we ourselves would be condemned for all eternity. If we're honest with ourselves, we're going to realize that we struggle every day with our own past. This is normal because we're still in a body that has not been glorified. We still have minds that haven't been fully renewed yet. We should understand the need of mercy because the whole world we live in is full of people like us, imperfect in so many ways. What would our society be like if there wasn't any forgiveness in it, but only justice? This consideration could be enough to move us towards a life that is more compassionate and merciful. Because our Heavenly Father is merciful, He holds off His judgment towards us and gives humanity another day to repent and turn from our wicked ways. He expresses His mercy through His patience. It's amazing how we as humans want justice for others and mercy for ourselves. We think we can discern the hearts of others, and for some reason or another, we think we would be fair judges. But our sin nature would render us incompetent to judge adequately. That is why our society has a justice system that stands up for the rights of individuals, because we get justice wrong so easily. We desperately need mercy in our world. Mercy understands that we shouldn't be judgmental towards others, because we will be judged with the same judgment with which we judge. God has extended His hand of mercy to us. When we're merciful, we're committed to putting ourselves in the lives of others and carrying some of their burdens for them. We do that, even though it may bring suffering into our own lives. We do what we can to help them get through the distress in their lives. In closing, I would like to look at the parable of the unmerciful servant. In this story, mercy was shown to a man who owed much. The person was forgiven, but didn't show the same mercy to the one who owed him. Jesus tells us how the unmerciful servant was treated in Matthew 18:33-35, where the servant's master says, "Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had on you?" In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. This is how my Heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. We're to show mercy, a mercy from the heart, not from the head. We must truly forgive the other person without resentment. I pray that you show mercy to someone in your life today. And may God be glorified today, tomorrow, and forever.
You've been listening to author and Bible teacher Bill Zechman here on Principles for Living. Thanks again for spending time with us. Our program today is titled The Giving of Mercy. We hope it's encouraged you to grow in your daily walk with Christ. Principles for Living would like to send you even more teaching through our free booklet called Strength Through Weakness, packed with biblical references and Bill's sharp insights. It's a handy guide to understanding why God does His best work in our lives when we allow Him to have control. It's our free gift this month. Just request it when you call. You can call our toll-free number at 888-881-3411. That's 888-881-3411. Our mailing address is Principles for Living, P.O. Box 1097, Norfolk, Nebraska, 68702. Again, that's P.O. Box 1097, Norfolk, Nebraska, 68702. You can request the free booklet, Strength Through Weakness, by sending us an email. Our email address is info@principlesforliving.org. You can also request the booklet at our website, principlesforliving.org. That's principlesforliving.org. Principles for Living is a listener-supported nonprofit ministry. We rely on your prayers and financial support to continue to reach people for Christ. If you've been personally blessed by Bill Zechman's teachings, please consider sowing back into this work. You can make a tax-deductible gift of any amount at principlesforliving.org. That's principlesforliving.org. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Join us next time, along with our host and Bible teacher, Bill Zechman, as we share truths for today, tomorrow, and forever, right here on Principles for Living.